Okay, Shalom Aleichem everyone, good evening, good evening. In our shir tonight, in our parshir tonight, what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and hit three major yesodos, three major ideas in Judaism. One about our personal service of God, daily life. Another about the concept relating to Jewish history, a very big idea relating to Jewish history. And the third, if we have time, to review an idea that we've learned in the past about Emunah, but this is the Parsha of Emunah. Parshas Lech Lecha is the Parsha in which we're reintroduced to Avram Avinu as a father of our nation, as our Alta Zeta, a great-grandfather. And we know that inside of each and every one of us, there is a nitzos, there is a spark of Avram Avinu, and hence it's very important to understand his midah, to understand the yesod of who Avram Avinu was, that we can get chizik from it, that we should get encouragement and we should get inspired by it. But what I'd like to start with is to start with, of course, the first pasuk of the parsha. We did it the past 2 weeks, and Be'ezus Hashem will continue to do it with this week, to start learning the first pasuk in the parsha. And this first pasuk in the parsha is much more just than the first pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha. What is the first pasuk in Lech Lecha? It is the first directive. It is the first communication between Hashem and a Jew in this world. This is the first communication between Hashem and Avram Avinu. And as such, as the first communication between Hashem and Avram Avinu, what can we expect in this pasuk? We can expect a major, major idea of Judaism. We should expect that in the very first time that Hashem is talking to the very, very first Jew, what should be revealed in this pasuk? The secret of what it is to be a Jew. The secret of what it is to live in this world. That's what we can expect in this first pasuk. And in fact, there are many mefarshim that say that yes, in this first pasuk, which is the first communication between Hashem and a Jew in this world, we have the secret of being a Jew. What's the pasuk? Again, it might be helpful to have a chumash in front of you for this year, if nisht. Not for the first part of this year. Vayomer Adonai el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, mimoladcha, mi'beis avicha, el ha'aretz asher areka. That Hashem tells Avram to go from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's home, to the land that I will show you. And we've discussed why is Hashem so vague here, the land that I will show you, and we've discussed the concept that every step was more meaningful because Avram was going just off into the unknown, right into the mysterious destination, and that actually brought greater reward. But Rashi, in the very, very first comment to this week's parasha, tells us, lech lecha. What does that mean, lech lecha? Go, lecha, to you, for you. Rashi says it means, lahanascha ulatovascha. That it'll be for your benefit, it'll be for your good. Because sham escha l'gagadol, that's where I'm going to make you a great nation. And here, v'kan yata zochel abanim. Here you won't merit children living outside the land, but if you'll go to the land, you'll merit to have children. We know, by the way, this is something that some infertile couples do. Some couples that, rachmana litzlan, struggle to have children. So some tzaddikim would tell them that if they were living outside of the land, to move to Eretz Yisrael. That you should move to Eretz Yisrael, like Avram and Sarah did, to be zochet to children. But Rashi here tells us, lech lecha, in the very, very first command, Hashem is telling Avram, lahanascha letovascha, go to Eretz Canaan, and it's going to be for your benefit, it's going to be for your good. Now many wonder, why does Hashem have to say, lech lecha? This is the first test that Avram is given by Hashem. There is, according to Chazal, a test that preceded this, right? Which test preceded lech lecha? Many say it was the test of the Kivshan Ha'esh, the furnace that Nimrod threw Avram into. Some say the Nisayon of Avram smashing his father's idols. A different count exactly than the Mefarshim and the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, because we know it's the Mishnah in Avos in the fifth Perek that tells us that Avram Avinu had 10 tests. But this very first test that's revealed to us, this in the Chumash, the very first test that Hashem himself commands Avram, some wonder, why does it have to say lech lecha? Why does Hashem have to tell him, go for your good, go for your benefit? This is a nisayon, this is a challenge, this is a spiritual trial and tribulation. So why is Hashem telling him, go, but don't worry, that's where it's really going to be good for you? What's Hashem trying to do? Hashem's trying to make it easier on Avram? So there are a number of different approaches that you find in the commentaries to deal with this question. It's a question that many ask. And some say that in the very first Nisayon, what is Hashem telling Avram Avinu? What is Hashem revealing in the very first command to the very first Jew? That all of the suffering that you're going through, all the trials and tribulations that you're going through, understand l'hanascha l'tovascha. That all of the nisyonos that you are going to go through, they're all ultimately for your benefit. They're all ultimately for your good. And that's one approach that some mefarshim take, which is, again, as we said, the very first directive to the very first Jew, we expect big things. So this is what's known in halacha as a binyan av. This is the paradigm. The paradigm is, whenever God tells us to do something, ultimately, we know it's lahanaseinu ultovaseinu. We know it's for our benefit and for our good. That's one approach that we find in the Svarim HaKadoshim. But then there's another approach of the Panim Yafos. And the Panim Yafos takes a diametrically opposed view. He takes a totally, totally different perspective. If the first perspective is that anything Hashem tells you to do, as difficult as it might be, and as hard and as, you know, mamish, so it might even come with some suffering, ultimately, lahanascha l'tovascha, it's going to be for your benefit and it's going to be for your good, comes upon him, Yafos, to say, no, lach lecha made the nisayon, made the challenge harder. Why did it make the challenge harder? How does lach lecha, how does Hashem telling Avram that by going to that land, it's going to be for your benefit, it's going to be for your good, how does that make the nisayon harder? How does it make the test harder? Because zakt upon him yafos, and this is something the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh also picks up on, is that why should Avram Avinu go to Eretz Yisrael? What's the motivation for him to go to Eretz Yisrael? What is the real reason? The real reason he should be going to Israel is because Hashem told him to. The fact that it's going to be better for him in Israel, the fact that it's going to be good for him in Israel, and here it's not going to be good, that's not why he's going to Israel. He's going to Eretz Yisrael because Hashem said go to Eretz Yisrael, so you go to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that they have better orange juice there, the fact they have better healthcare system, that doesn't cost as much, I don't know, better, right? Right? The fact that there's less anti-Semitism there, that's not why you go to Eretz Yisrael. You go to Eretz Yisrael because Hashem said, that's where you're supposed to be. So it's not that when Hashem is telling Avram, lech lecha and zakt Rashi from the Gemara, that lahanascha l'tovascha, this is for your benefit, it's for your good to go to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Nisayon even more difficult. Hashem made it a greater challenge. And according to some, this is the penultimate Nisayon of each and every one of us in this world. This is the ultimate Nisayon. That what? That why are we doing what we're doing? Are we doing it because it benefits us? Or are we doing it to fulfill the divine will? And in fact, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that this is what we find by Aaron HaKohen. We find by Aaron Cohen, Vayaskein Aaron el Mupnei Amenorah Helane Rosea Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Right, the beginning of Bahaloscha. It's a strange lashon. Why does the pasuk have to tell us that Aaron lit the menorah the way Hashem commanded Moshe? So Zok to Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that Aaron HaKohen did it not for his own personal grandeur, because we know that Aaron felt bad that he didn't have the opportunity to bring a carbon with it along with the Nesiim, that Shevet Levi was sort of shut out, and Aaron felt a little bad, and then Moshe gives him the commandment of lighting the menorah. So the pasuk tells us, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, Aaron did this not, oh, now I feel good, we have the menorah, right? Even though it could be that the tzivui was given, the commandment was given to help Aaron feel better at this point. But the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that why did Aaron do it when he was doing it? What was his kavana? Not for to feel good about himself, not to say, oh, now my shevet is represented. This is the Ratzon Hashem that I should light this menorah. And in fact, if you look in the Pasuk, right? Pasuk Aleph, Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha. And then Pasuk Dalet, what does the Pasuk tell us? Vayelech Avram, Kasher Diber Elav Hashem. That Avram went the way Hashem told him to go. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, you know what this means? That Avram went because that's what Hashem told him to do, not because Hashem told him, you're never going to have children here. If you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll have children. That over here, you're never going to be a great nation. Over there, you're going to be a great nation. No, Hashem, Avram goes, right? Kasher diber elav Hashem. The way Hashem, in fact, told him. And we know that this really is at the heart of Judaism. This is at the heart of the struggle of what it means to be in a physical body in this world. No one less than the Rambam talks about this in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos. What does the Rambam say in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos? It's a famous Rambam. We've quoted all the time. But what does the Rambam talk about in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Deos? He talks about how a person's whole life, everything that you do, really is about serving Hashem. As long as you have the right focus. And at the end of Halacha Gimel, in the middle he writes, Nimsa Hamahalich Bederach Zu, Kol Yamav, Kulon Oved Es Hashem Tamid. If a person, he conducts himself this way, she conducts herself this way, all of their days, meaning everything they're doing is always serving Hashem. Afilu b'shoshen noseh v'nosein. Right? Even at the time when you're in business. Afilu b'shoh, even a time of intimacy. Even at the time that you're taking care of your physical needs. It's all lavod es Hashem. And he then finishes, v'afilu b'shoshu yoshein. Even when a person is sleeping, even when a person sleeps, im yashin ladas kedesha tanuach daito alav yanuach gufo kedesha lo yichle v'lo yuchal avod es Hashem v'hu chol enimtze shena shelo avod ala makom baruch hu. That if a person, when you go to sleep at night, right? One of my rabbis, Mendel Blachman, always said that you can't go to sleep like a horse and wake up like a Jew. You have to go to sleep like a Jew if you want to wake up like a Jew. Meaning when a person goes to sleep, what's the whole idea of Kriya Shema Lamita? Yeah, the Gemara says to protect you from Mazikin, to protect you from negative spiritual forces. But what does that mean? Some explain the negative spiritual forces is that you should go to sleep like a Jew. You don't go to sleep like an animal. Just like, because if you just collapse into bed, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted. Sleep, sleep, right? So your sleep is just all self-serving. Your sleep is a form of self-service, we've quoted from my Rebbe Baron Lichtenstein Zitzal, that it's a form of avodah zarah. But when a person goes to sleep, if you go to sleep tonight saying, you know what, my mind, I need to rest, my body needs to rest so I don't get sick, so I can serve Hashem, then your shena, your sleep, the Rambam writes, is avodah lamakom baruch hu. Your sleep is service of God. So you could choose how you go to sleep tonight will determine whether all of those moments of sleep is self-serving or service of Hashem. And this is what Chazal tell us when they taught that all of your actions should be for the sake of heaven. This is what Shlomo wrote in Mishlei, Bechol derachecha deyehu. In all of your ways, in everything that you do, you should know God. Because that is our ability. We have the ability as Jews that whatever we do, it's all about Hashem. And in fact, this is what, in the very, very first pasuk, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is challenging Avram with. Lech lecha, yes, go for yourself. Again, one pshat, very beautiful pshat. That ultimately, we live in an alma de shikra, we live in a world of falsehoods. We have to know that the sacrifices we make for Hashem and the difficulties we find in serving Hashem, be'emes, u'betara, be'kedusha, in truth, in purity, and in holiness, ultimately you have to know lahanascha l'tovascha. You have to know whenever you follow the divine directive, ultimately it's going to be for your benefit, it's going to be for your pleasure. Right? That's what you have to know. But again, the Panim Yafos is bringing a very different pshat. But what is our kavana supposed to be when we serve Hashem? Our kavana should be that everything is about connecting to Hashem and elevating everything in service of Hashem. And what's here, beautiful, if we can jump ahead, we could jump ahead just a couple of months into the beginning of Shemos. In the beginning of Shemos, in the back and forth between Paro and Moshe, Perek Vav, When Paro says, fine, you want to go? Who's going to go with you? Right? Who's going to go with you? And what does Moshe tell him? He says, we have to go, and all of the children, b'nareinu zekeneinu neilech, we're going to have to take our animals. And Paro says, your animals? Why do you have to take an animal? So what does the pasuk say? Perek, one second, where was this? Perek yud, pasuk chavav, v'gam mekneinu yelech imanu ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem. That also our cattle we have to take with us, our flocks we have to take with us, because from them we're going to serve Hashem. So Zokt, Rabbi Sacher Dov of Belz, Zuchus Egen Aleinu. Rabbi Sacher Dov of Belz, the second Rabbi, right? What does he say? He says that this pasuk is mamash the same idea. V'gam mekneinu yelech imanu ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem. So he says, first we have to know from a pasuk in Zechariah, the Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah, my bar mitzvah Haftorah, right? That the Navi Zechariah tells us, v'nasati lecha mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ele. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to a human being as a mehalech, as someone that goes, that moves, and an angel as an omid, as something that stands still. Why? Because an angel, from the time of its creation, it doesn't really grow spiritually. It is what Hashem created it as, and it's like a robot almost. Not exactly, we're simplifying, but you know, it's just fulfilling a tafkid. It doesn't really have the challenges that we have. And so angels are known as omnim, but they're basically stay in one place. But a human being, mahalchim, we move. We're not staying static. We move. Well, we know, Revolbi points out, if you're not going up, Hashtas is, you're not going up and you're going in another direction. But a human being, we're always moving. We're dynamic. We have to be moving. Mahalchim, we go. Zokter b'sachar dov. So you know what this pasuk is telling us? You know what Moshe is telling Paro? Read the pasuk again. Gam miknenu yeleichimanu. That even our cattle, even our flocks are going to be what? They are going to be holich. Yelech imanu lashon of holich, that they're also dynamic. They're also going to grow spiritually. Ki mimenu nikach lavodes Hashem. You know why? Because we're going to take our animals, and with our animals, we're going to serve Hashem. So if with our animals we're serving Hashem, you know what that means? And again, Al Pi Kabbalah, Adam can fill us in. But Al Pi Kabbalah, when you make a bracha over a piece of steak, and you eat that piece of steak, you're elevating that animal from chai to medaber. You're like elevating the sparks in that animal from chai to medaber to like a higher level of existence. And so, Zokter b'sachar dov of Belz, that's what Moshe was teaching Paro. Paro, you're so silly. You don't understand that our cattle isn't wealth. Our cattle, our flocks, these are vehicles of elevating them, of lifting up sparks to God. And this is what we have to do. And this is what the Panim Yafos is saying, the very first tzivui, the very first command Hashem is giving to the very first Jew. It is mamish yisod gadol in our whole life, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, from Shlomo HaMelech, Mishle, b'chol derechecha deyehu. We're in a world where God is nowhere. Right? Where's God? Videi b'shter. Where's Hashem? Hashem's nowhere. We don't see Hashem. Where's Hashem? Right? Like, what do you expect? What do you expect? You expect to see angels hanging out on lampposts, Rav Noach Weinberg, that's all he used to talk about. What do you mean, where's Hashem? Hashem's nowhere. But that's exactly the point. B'chol derechecha deyehu means Hashem's everywhere. Mamish, in everything that we're doing, Hashem is there. And that's the challenge. The challenge is to focus all that we do on God. So granted, look, this is a very, very high level, right? What does that mean? That means that you can't enjoy a steak? No, it doesn't mean you can't enjoy a steak. But as tzaddikim say, the first bite of the steak is about what? Is about, thank you, Hashem, for giving me this food that tastes so good, to nourish myself, to elevate myself, to get me to a place that I can serve you. And then appreciate it. But the tzaddikim say that the first bite, the first experience of the physical, you should try and focus towards God. Doesn't mean every bite is about that. Doesn't mean, but you should know, they say, it's Ma'amir Chazal, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, on his deathbed, a very wealthy person, right? We've mentioned this many times. He held up his 10 fingers, and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I could be meyed that even etzba ketana shali, even my little pinky didn't get pleasure from this world. What does that mean? He was a very wealthy person. Chazal tell us about all the riches that he had in his home. He didn't take pleasure from this world? Of course he did. It meant that it was never disassociated from service of God. It was never tanug, l'shem tanug. It was never a pleasure just for the sake of a pleasure. That's what we don't do. That's what, as a Jew, we have to understand that everything could be elevated. Lech lecha, meaning Hashem's telling it to Avram, but the emes is we say it towards Hashem, lech lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything we're bringing towards you. Everything, all of our experiences could be God-focused. And again, it makes sense. In the very, very first tzivui, the very first discussion between Hashem and a Jew, the first Jew, we find these two amazingly important lessons. One, that ultimately everything lahanaseinu u'tavaseinu. Ultimately, all of the challenges, all of the journeys that we go on in life, when we're following Dvar Hashem, when we're following Hashem's word, we have to know it's going to be for our benefit and it's going to be for our good. It's not revealed to us right now. Avram went through a lot of difficulty. He comes to Israel, and what happens when he gets to Israel? There's a famine. He has to leave. He has to go to Egypt, and then Sarah's kidnapped to be taken by the kid. Like, it wasn't so simple. He wasn't having such an easy life, right? It was really lahanasi ul tavasi. This is for my benefit. This is for my good. Where Avram's like, I don't see it. Patience, and so too for each and every one of us. Patience. Lahanaseinu l'tavaseinu. When we're following, when we're seeking out Hashem's tivui, when that's what we're trying to do, it's ultimately lahanaseinu l'tavaseinu. It's for our pleasure and it's for our good. But the Panim Yafos is saying also deeper, that when we are engaged in this world, we have to recognize that the lech lecha was a form of nisayon. And as Avram Avinu travels, again, how does he travel? Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. That Avram travels the way Hashem told him to. That's the focus. And as the Rambam says, b'chol derechecha de'eyu, and everything that we do, as the Rambam finishes the third parak of Hilchos Deos, even sleep, when it's with the right focus, everything is elevated, and everything should be focused, ultimately, as a Jew, everything is really focused on Hashem. And so this is just one yesod from the, two yesodos, from the first pasuk. I very much would like to talk about something else also. Let's move to the second idea for tonight. Okay, I can tell now we're probably not going to get to the third idea. But let's get to the second idea. And Avram Chaim would love this. I'm sure Avram Chaim knows this. It's an Agra de Kala. It's an Agra de Kala. It's a teaching of Reb Hirsch Meilach of Dinov. It's a teaching of the Bnei Yisachar from a Sefer Agra de Kala. And it's about a very interesting episode in Perek Yudalid. Perek Yudalid is the story of a war. It's a story of a war. And there doesn't seem to be much by way of changing the storyline in this war, right? Meaning, if you would take out, you know, yeah, Lahavdil. Well, I'm not going to get into movies. But Bekitzer, if you would take out the story of the war here, would it change the storyline that much of Avram's life? Not too much, right? Okay, he goes, he saves Lot, okay. He meets Malki Tzedek, he meets Shem. There's not that much. And the Farshim looked for meaning here. The Agra de Kala points out this is a very important story. This story in Perek Yedalet is a very important story. The Hakdama to the story is, of course, a famous statement that they quote in the name of the Kotzker Rebbe, Reb Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, Zechusei Gein Aleinu, that the Kotzker said the stories of Bereshis are all hidden in fur coats. Why, what? Meaning, the stories of Bereshis, you look at the story in Bereshis, it's like it's a nice fur coat. You ever remember? My grandmother had a fur coat, my mother has a fur coat. You know, like, you remember as a little kid, you're touching a fur coat, it's like, ooh, it's furry and it feels nice, and you rub it against your cheek, oh, so nice. The Kotzker said, you read the stories in Bereshis, oh, it's a nice coat. But you realize it's nothing. It's just an external shell. There's something wrapped inside of it. And whenever you read the stories in Bereshis, every story in Bereshis, there's a lot of depth in this. You know what the story of the war is, of the kings? It's the story of the four Galios that the Jewish people are going to go through. The Ramban says, Ma'isa Ava Simin Labanim. The stories that happened to the ancestors are signs of what's going to come. And in fact, the Ramban already tells us that the four kings, the four powerful kings, you know what they represented? They represented the four exiles. Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom. the four kings. And what's interesting is, who were these four kings? So Kirdala Omer seems to be the main one, right? Kirdala Omer really seems to take control in Pasuk Hey, Avarba Esrei Shana Bachidar La Omer, and then again, Kidar La Omer. But what's interesting is the whole story starts, Perek Dalid Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi Bimei Amraphel Melech Shinar. Kirdala Omer is the second to last king that's mentioned. The third one. Vayhi Amraphel. Who is Amraphel? Zok the Agar the Kala. The Bnei Yisachar of Hershmailach, what does he say it is? It was Nimrod. This was Nimrod. So what was this war? This war wasn't about land in Israel. This war was about Avram Avinu. Meaning, Amraphel, Nimrod, he teams up with other kings, and he makes himself subservient to the other kings. Because as the Agra the Kala writes, sin and the Kalkelis is Ashura. Hate makes you do crazy things. Nimrod, this powerful king, he just wants to do one thing. He wants to get Avram Avinu. And so what does he do? He tells Kedila Omer, let's go, Kedila. You're the best, Kedila Omer. I'm second to you. I'm not really the main one. And he lets Kedila Omer take center stage, and this battle goes on. And how are they going to get to Avram? They know that Avram's nephew, who looks exactly like Avram, right? We say that Lot looked very much like Avram. He moved to Sodom. That's how we're going to get Avram Avinu in. Vayikhu es kol rechush Sodom v'amora ves kol achlam v'yelechu vayikhu es Lot ves rechusho ben achi Avram v'yelechu v'hu yoshev b'stom. And it tells us they took all the property of Sodom and Amorah, and then it says Davka, they took Lot and his property, like separate, right? And it stresses Ben Achi Avram ve'elchu v'hu yoshev b'stom. Vayavu ha'palit v'yugad la'avram. Who is this palit? Who is this remnant that comes to tell Avram? So we know Rashi quotes the famous Chazal. Who was it? It was Og Melech HaBashan. It was a giant Og. Zok the Agar the Kali. You know who the palit is? And again, we can't get too Kabbalistic, but it's the palit, it's the remnant of the Tzimtzum. And you know what that is? That's the Shechina. It was the Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Adam knows what I'm talking about, right? The Shechina, Kaviyachal, comes to tell Avram. And he tells Avram, Vayishma Avram. And Avram hears, Kinishba Achiv. Avram hears, Kinishba Achiv. One second. We just described Lot as who? As Ben Achi Avram. We didn't describe him as Kinishba Achiv. Why does it say that? And Avram heard that his brother, it wasn't his brother, Lot wasn't his brother. We dafko, two psukim before, he's described specifically as Ben Achi Avram, the nephew of Avram. So why over here is being discussed as Avram? Zok the Agra the Kala. Listen to what he says is going on here. This isn't about Lot at all. This isn't about Lot at all. Who is this about? This is about Mashiach. This war is about Mashiach. Who's going to come from Lot? Who's Lot's grandson / son through his daughters in next week's parasha? Moav. Me'av, right? He's intimate with his two daughters. He has a son, Moav. And who's Moav's great-great-granddaughter? Rus. Who's Rus's great-grandson? David HaMelech. Right? Kinishba Achiv. Again, this is a wild pshat, but this is such a powerful pshat. Kinishba Achiv. What does it mean that David is Achiv of Avram? There are four legs to God's throne. Who are the four legs? They're Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. David is the fourth regal of the Merkava. And so Avram, Vayishma Avram, Avram understood Kinishba Achiv, that Lot being taken means that David HaMelech is being taken. That his brother, the other leg, one of the other legs of God's throne is taken. So right away, Avram Avinu goes and he challenges them and he chases them at dawn. And Rashi tells us, why does he only make it until dawn? Because the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Vav says, what happens in Dun later on? What happens in Dun? That's where Yeravam ben Nevat sets up an Egel and he splits off from Malchus David. So Avram is going to protect David, right? But ultimately he can only chase the kings until Dan, because what happens in Dan? Dan is where, unfortunately, the progeny of David HaMelech went off. They didn't follow the proper way, and Hashem allows Yeravam to split and make another kingdom. And create, unfortunately, Egel leads to a separate kingdom, Malchus Yisrael. So what happens here is that Avram Vinu can't defend anymore. He can only chase up until Dan. So what's going on here? Again, we're talking about the four kings representing the four Malchios. And what this means is that, yes, there's a Malchus based David. And we don't know David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David, the king of Israel, will live forever. But there are going to be four periods where Malchus Beis David is going to be humbled. There are going to be four times that Klal Yisrael is going to be begalus, in exile. And those four times represented by these four kings, Bavel, Paras, Yavan, and Edom. And the beginning of Perek Tes Vav, the Agra Dekala reads in such a powerful way. And let's try and get through this to understand what this is telling us. Look in Perek Tes Vav, Pasuk Aleph. Achar Hadvar Me'ela. So whenever it says Achar Hadvar Me'ela, what do we know? We know there's a connection between what we're about to read and what just happened before. And on a simple level, what the connection is that Avram wants to know, I just went to war, I just saved Lot, and I want to know really what's going to happen. How am I going to inherit? What's the deal? But Achar Dvar Me'ela, Haya Devar Hashem El Avram, B'machazel Lemar. So the Agra Dekala points out that this seems to be contradictory. How do you translate this? After these events, right, there was the Dvar Hashem. What's the Dvar Hashem? God's word. El Avram to Avram, B'machazel. What's machazel? In a vision. Lemar, saying. One second. Hashem speaks to Avram in a vision, saying. What does that mean? So the Agra Dekala says, we know there are two modes of prophecy. We know, for example, even in the life of David HaMelech, there is someone who is known as Nasan Hanavi, and yet there's another prophet who's known as God HaChoze. One is a Navi, one is a Choze. What's the difference between a Navi and a Choze? So the Agra Dekala says it's the difference between a Dvar Hashem and a Machazeh, and a vision. He says when God speaks directly to a prophet, the prophet hears the words, that's a higher level. The word of God never can be undone, right? The word of God never returns empty. That is definite, that's a prophecy that cannot be changed. But a vision could be changed. A vision could be changed. And what is the form of a vision, words in a vision? He said that, like when the Kohen Gadol would look at the Choshen, at the breastplate, and he would see the letters lit up, and he would have to interpret the letters. So some prophets heard Mamish directly, a voice, told them a very clear message, that's for sure going to happen. But some had a vision of letters, and they put the letters together. That could be changed. Based upon the Jewish people doing tshuva, or the Jewish people sinning. So Zok the Agra Dekala, he says, that Avram Avinu was very concerned when he got to Dan. When he got to Dan and he couldn't chase the kings anymore to vanquish them entirely, and they got away. So what was the concern? The concern was that, meaning at Dan Avram Avinu weakened, the concern was that I protected Malchus Beis David, but there's going to come a time when these kings are going to be ascendant over David. And he was afraid, Avram Avinu is afraid, that when David is captured, when Malchus Yisrael, when the Jewish people are going to be sent into Galus, Hashem, how do I know they're going to remain faithful and they're going to be able to merit to come back into the land? How do I know that ultimately they're going to be redeemed? So that's what Hashem says to him. Hashem, Divar Hashem, El Avram, B'machazeh, Lemar. So what we have here are two contradictory type of prophecies. And what that means is, the Agra Dakala says that Hashem promised Avram, and by the way, you know what he says? This was the first war ever in all of history. This was the first war in all of history. This war, right, between the four kings and the five kings. Because all war is about the Jewish people. It's all about the Jewish. This is the first war in all of history. And he says, Avram Avinu is afraid. So Hashem says, listen, I promised you with the Dibur that ultimately David HaMelech will never be entirely wiped out. David HaMelech's progeny, the descendants are going to live. David HaMelech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. He's alive and he's going to be established. La'olam Vaed. But Machaz, I'm going to tell you, in a vision I'm going to point out to you, that there will be times that David HaMelech's kingdom will be shattered. That his kingdom will not be revealed in this world. And that's when the Jewish people are going to be turning away, God forbid. And so what the Agra Dakala says, that this story here, this story of the four kings and the five kings, this story about Lot, it's not really about Lot. This story is the promise of Mashiach. That's what the Agra Dakala says. He says, this story of the four kings and the five kings is the guarantee that Hashem promises Avraham that there will be war, there will be suffering, there will be four periods of exile that your children are going to have to go through. But I promise you that at the end of the day, your children will be Mekuyam, and Malchus Beis David will come back and redeem them. And this is, again, the context. This is the first parsha of Avraham Avinu. Maisa Ava Simin Labanim, as the Ramban says, it's such an important message according to the Bnei Yisachar that in the first parsha of Avraham Avinu, we're getting an overview of all of Jewish history. We're getting an insight to all of Jewish history. And how why is this so important? Because when a Jew reads the parsha of Avraham Avinu, when we read about the Arba Galias, we have to know that Hashem is always there. That Hashem is never, never rejected us. And yes, there are going to be periods of kingdoms and persecution and great suffering. But ultimately, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Al tira Avram, Anochi magin lach. Hashem says, don't be afraid, Avram, because I will be your shield. Doesn't mean you're not going to get battered. It doesn't mean you're not going to get bruised. But it means I will never let you go entirely. And this is why some say Magen Avram, the end of the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. Magen Avram, we're reminding Hashem of exactly of this. That Hashem told Avram, Al tira Avram, Anochi Magen Lach. So we end the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, Baruch Ata Hashem, Magen Avraham. We are here, Hashem, because of that promise that you made after the War of the Kings, of Magen Avram, that you would be the shield of Avram, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I'm able to daven to you. That's why I'm able to talk to you. Because of that promise you made so long ago. And that's how we stand here, because of this story. Because of this Haftacha. This is who we are. And so we're not going to get to the third part, the third idea in the parasha. It's a very famous idea. We've discussed it many times about emuna, that emuna is not binary. Emuna, we have to be constantly working on all the time to strengthen our emuna. But again, I think that in the first pasuk in the parasha and a very strange story in the parasha, there are very, very deep, very important truths about what it is to be a Jew and what it is to be part of the Jewish people experiencing Jewish history. Shkoach to everyone for coming out. Shkoach to those that are online.